former Congressman Parker Griffith joins us on the line. Congressman, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Good morning, Jeff. We're doing great. It's muddy and messy and soggy up here in North Alabama, but we're doing fine. And we're just kind of sorry the election's over. There's not much to talk about. I mean,
Your former political rival, U.S. Congressman Mo Brooks, making a lot of headlines talking about challenging the Electoral College, as Congress, I guess, can do technically under the Constitution, getting a lot of backlash for it, but also has a lot of support, kind of the tip of the spear there, I think, leading the charge.
Yeah, I don't have anything good to say about that. That's It's one way of getting publicity. Of course, it reveals a lack of respect for the election process. But anyway, that's what politicians do if they don't have anything really serious to talk about. They try to get in the spotlight, and I think it's certainly an effective way to do that.
I don't know that he's necessarily doing this just for the publicity. I think he is. This is an honest, heartfelt conviction, but it does seem it is a little bit of a long shot. And Mitch McConnell telling his members on the Republican caucus not to participate in this because it would take one member of the House, one member of the Senate. So it's unclear to me that it's going to go anywhere.
Well, it's what's clear to me is, having been in Congress and sat in the committees, is that Congressman Brooks is making sure that his influence there is even smaller than it was before he started this. And if your congressman and your senator from your state is supposed to be bringing home the bacon and trying to support what's needed in your state, he's losing influence by the hour. He may be making a point with the diehard Trump supporters, but he's certainly not making any friends with the Republicans in Congress or the Republicans in the Senate. He has a lot of support, but he's also making a fool of himself with a lot of other important people. And so, I think if you measured it, he's probably doing Alabama a disservice. He may be doing himself a service by just putting his name out there. But anyway, it's Mo Brooks, man. I've said it over and over again. Mo is lucky his middle name's not Ron. I mean, he's just too bad.
He wins his primary by 50 points. I think he's on the rise here in Alabama. If Shelby steps aside, you look at the 2022 field, and do we think Mo Brooks? Who would you bet on to beat him at this point? And there's not a whole lot of names out there. I mean, I think maybe you hear John Merrill, you hear Gary Palmer, you hear Katie Britt. Others.
I think there's several people in the wings. The young lady that's chair or president of BCA.
Right, Katie Britt.
Yep, and there's some others in the wings there that are considering this thing. And gosh, Mo has run statewide on two separate occasions, and he hardly got outside of Madison County.
He picks up like Limestone in Madison County, maybe Morgan County too, but I think it's different this time. I mean, he really – but 2006, that run for lieutenant governor, it wasn't meant to be. He gave a good speech. I remembered he came – I was down here at the University of South Alabama at the time. I remember it, and he won a lot of people over in that, but he didn't have the reach. And then 2017, he kind of got screwed over by Trump with that last-minute endorsement of Luther Strange. This time it looks this to me that he could ride that Trump would endorse him over the other candidates, and he could sail into that Senate seat, at least a Republican nomination. Now, who knows what would happen?
Well, I would love to see him run in the Republican primary. I sure would. I'd like to see him spend his money in the Republican primary. He can't win statewide. Trump's endorsement. Listen, I know better than most. When you lose an election, the phone quits ringing. And I'll tell you, Trump has run out of friends. I mean, he's fired his attorney general. He's trashed McConnell. He's raising money against the Republican Party over in Georgia. I mean, Trump has become, he's backed himself into a corner. I mean, his paranoia is taking over.
Well,
and we don't know what taste in the mouth people will have for Trump. Now the Trumpsters, the dyed-in-the-wool Trumpsters.
Let's keep it within the confines of Alabama, though. I still think Donald Trump, even after election, is going to be sailing pretty high among Alabama Republican voters, which may not be Alabama at large, but those people that vote in Republican primaries in Alabama are still going to have a very favorable view of Donald Trump, regardless of what your armchair psychological diagnosis or whatever you think he's suffering from. I think people in this state that will vote in the 2022 primary are going to look at him favorably still.
Well, I agree with that. I think Trump is perfect for Alabama. I think George Wallace was perfect for Alabama, and I think it's the same. It's the same political DNA that enjoys that sort of leadership.
George Wallace. George Wallace, a Democrat, by the way.
Yeah, but he voted Republican. Remember what George said.
He was, I always thought he was a populist. You know, there's not a dime the difference between the Republicans or the Democrats, but he was more of, if you strip out all the segregation now stuff and you look at pure straight up George Wallaceism, and it was populism. I'm not that much different than Trump, I suppose. But I think Trump, the more appropriate parallel would probably be like Jim Folsom or something, Big Jim Folsom. He seems like the outsider. You know what I mean?
You're making a really good point, Jeff, because if you stripped out George Wallace's racism and him using that.
I mean, that was a big, big part of George Wallace. Don't get me wrong, standing in the schoolhouse door. That is his legacy. He's going to be remembered for that. But
if you strip that out, he would have been, he was an excellent governor. I mean, he was an education governor. He was a he started our 2-year college system here.
He's pro labor, you know.
Yes, he was and think about Trump. If Trump had had the personality of Ronald Reagan, there was nobody could beat him. Trump beat himself. Nobody beat Trump. Trump did a lot of good things, except he could not keep from doing the things that beat him. And he just turned so many people off that they beat him. And you can't just keep poking folks in the eye and being ugly to them. His own party doesn't like him. They're afraid of him. And that's one of the problems Trump has. His management style is fear and bullying. And once he loses the authority, it'll come back to haunt him because there are lots of people who have been sucking up and not saying anything that can't stand him.
Well,
and
tell me what you think.
Come back to haunt him.
Tell me what you think of this assessment. That's sort of the trade-off, because I think part of Trump's appeal, and this is probably why he won the Republican primary by such a definitive big margin. They like Republicans and a lot of people like Trump's style. Stylistically, he is brash and bully him, and they look at that as something that's needed in Washington, that we get pushed around by these elites, and they have their own rules and expect us to adopt their silly rules, and that's what they wanted. It wasn't so much policy as it was stylistic. But then on the other hand, you look at, like you always bring up, the suburban women that vote. It turns a lot of people away and off. So there's a cost-benefit analysis that has to be done with that approach.
His style was good, Jeff. I mean, the style, Trump's style of attacking authority, that's okay. But his racism and attacking the Browns and the Blacks and saying just crazy stuff, delusional things. You know, like he had the biggest inauguration crowd ever.
But when you say racist and attacking the Browns, what specifically are you referring to?
The just the comments he's made about people of color.
I mean, like that. Because he seemed to have done better than any Republican has with minorities, at least based on polling.
Well, those are percentages. You know, you go from 1 to 2, it's 100%.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like something we've never seen before with a Republican making gains. Usually, that trends in the other direction.
Yeah, well, I think that's fair. I mean, you've got to give Trump the credit that he's due, and you've got to say to him, Trump, you beat yourself. You could not control your disease. You could not, no one could get to you. They kept saying for years, oh, don't worry, Trump's going to get his feet under him, get his balance. He'll begin to act like, he'll begin to act like a president. Foreign policy has gone to hell. I mean, Iran, the guy with the bad haircut, North Korea, China, Russia are doing exactly what they've always done. He's had absolutely no effect.
Let's have that foreign policy discussion real quick. We got like 4 minutes here, but what is going to be better under a Biden administration? Did Trump ran on this of getting out of these foreign entanglements, and I think he probably has left a little bit more on the table than a lot of people would have liked to have seen. We're still in Afghanistan, we're still in Iraq, so on and so forth. But there's a lot of instability around the world, but there's always instability around the world.
Yeah, there is. There absolutely is. And I think Trump's style was ineffective with China, ineffective with North Korea, ineffective with Iran, ineffective with Russia. He made absolutely no progress. If anything, he stimulated Iran's nuclear program and North Korea's nuclear program. So, you know, he did not do a good job.
Well, I mean, he met with Kim Jong or whatever, and he, you know, he's upset the Chinese. Some people would argue he's a little too cozy with Vladimir Putin. I don't know that. I think that's kind of more of a talking point at this point. But to me, I don't think it's been a total failure. We haven't gotten into any wars.
I'm saying, you know, you're never as good as they say you are, and you're never as bad as they say you are. I think you've got to give Trump his credit. But you've got to recognize that his personality beat him.
Well, you're a Democrat. Well, back to the foreign policy. You're a Democrat, and you're sitting here right now. Who had a better approach to foreign policy, George W. Bush or Donald J. Trump?
George W.
Really?
Gosh, I would say Trump.
Yeah, because
but neither one of them were worth a damn. Neither one of them. Or any good. I mean, we're still in Afghanistan. Bush flew in on an airplane saying the war is over. I mean, and then, in order to have a hero, you've got to have a crisis. Trump's crisis was COVID-19. He completely blew it. Completely was unable to rise to the occasion, and it'll come back to haunt him. He'll have a legacy of 3 Supreme Court justices, which I think he should brag on. But he's also got to look at COVID-19, and he was not up to the task. He was not a manager. He's a deal maker, maybe, but not a manager.
And we'll get you out of here on this. Are you confident Biden administration's gonna do a lot better with COVID?
Oh yes, only because. Only because of the vaccines. I mean, we'll have 5 or 6 vaccines out by the end of this year. We still have not cracked 16 and under. We've still got to get our kids vaccinated. And we haven't got anything approved for that yet. But we're really, really showing what America can do it's under pressure. And our scientific community, our researchers, and our frontline healthcare workers have risen to the occasion. It should be a confidence builder for America, regardless of what party you're in. You ought to be proud of the fact that America has produced and is taking care of an enormous number of sick people right now. And it's going to, and by the way, this is going to get worse. January, February, and March, this first quarter, COVID, I mean, we could hit 500,000 deaths.
Wow.
We're at 300,000 now, but we could hit 500,000 in the next 120 days. It's going to be terrible.
Hey, Congressman, you have activated the listener response in a big way. I will credit you with that. But we got to get out of here. We'll do this again real soon whenever I need to see an uptick in listener interactivity here. But thank you for taking time with us this morning.
All right. Well, take care of yourself, man. Be safe.
All right. Former Congressman Parker Griffith on the program.